ESP. Welcome to EMP this morning. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we just want to come before you. We humble ourselves before you. We ask, Father, God, Lord, that you will rid us of any distracting thoughts, Lord God, so that our first thoughts, our first moments of the day can be placed before you and in worship to you. Father, God, Lord, I just humble myself this morning as I share the message from you, and I just pray that the word of scripture this morning will speak to our church family. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today I'm going to share from Proverbs 22:4, just one verse. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. I'll read this again. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. So I've been meditating a little bit on humility lately and came across this verse in one of my devotionals. The Bible has much to say about humility and often exalts this trait. This is a simple and short verse, but there's quite a lot in here, so let's try to unpack it a little bit this morning. So first thing is, the first component in this verse is humility. And just looking up into the dictionary definition of this word is that it is a way of behaving that shows that you do not think that you are a better or more important than other people. The Bible in Philippians 2:3-4 says this: do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So the first thing in humility is the motivation of the action. It's not for selfish ambition or conceit. It is not done to profit yourself first and foremost, but we are to count others more significant than ourselves, or in the NASB version, more important than ourselves. So how do we count others more important? That we do not only look to our own interests, but also we care about the interests of other people. So in summary, what is humility? It is an action that counts others more significant or important than ourselves. And it looks not just to our own interests, but also others as well. But in this same verse, I also noticed something, that it also teaches us what humility is not. First, I noticed that it's not counting yourselves as insignificant or unimportant. It is merely counting others more significant or more important than yourself. So in other words, we still have value. It's just that we value ourselves less than others, but we don't. But it's not that we don't value ourselves at all. And it's not only about the other person's interests, and then there's a complete disregard of our own interests, because the verse merely says, don't only look to your own interests and not the other person's. So in other words, it's possible that an act could still be an act of humility if it profits both you and another person, as long as in doing so, you do not count yourself more significant or more important than the other person. So meaning that it could still profit, it could still be a win-win situation as long as your attitude and your heart is that you don't put yourself first. So the next component in Proverbs 22:4 is that the reward goes to those who are humble and fears the Lord. The Bible talks a lot about this trait, but what does this actually mean? So let me share a few definitions from various scholars. So one say that it is not a cowering, it's not a begging kind of fear. It is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his father's law. It is a worshiping submission to the God of the covenant. It ultimately expresses reverential submission to the Lord's will and thus characterizes a true worshiper. And it signifies that religious reverence which every intelligent being owes to his creator. So knowing the true relationship between God and ourselves, i.e. him being the almighty creator and us being the creature, We revere, honor, and respect God because of that. But I think this relationship goes beyond the creator-creature relationship or master-servant relationship. It's because we know God loves us so much that we can trustingly and willfully submit to His word and promises. Hence, it's not like this begging kind of fear in which if we don't do X, then God will be really unhappy with us and we will be punished by Him. As it says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And again, in Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who follow His commandments have a good understanding. Only by recognizing who we are in relation to God and adopting this right attitude towards Him will we begin to have wisdom. So wisdom cannot advance further until the starting point is established. As one writer says, what the alphabet is to reading, notes to reading music, and numerals to mathematics, the fear of the Lord is to attaining the revealed knowledge of this book. Thus, wisdom doesn't start with how intellectual we are, or how many degrees we have, or how quick thinking we are, but the Bible says it simply begins with having the right attitude. So if you want riches, honor, and life, humility and fear of the Lord goes hand in hand. One author says, humility is the proper view of oneself, and fear of the Lord is the proper view of God. Indeed, it would make sense that these hard conditions go hand in hand. It's because of the fear of the Lord that we voluntarily adopt a humble attitude, and only when we have the fear of the Lord will we be able to properly be humble. As mentioned earlier, humility is not considering yourself insignificant or unimportant. When we have the proper fear of the Lord, knowing that He is our loving Creator who bought us with His blood, we would not feel insignificant or unimportant. It's just that we are now free to consider others more important than ourselves. But actually, our value does not decrease because of that. Note that it is not that God considers others more important than you. It is we voluntarily consider others more important than ourselves, placing their interests above ours. Not that our own interests have no place in the whole decision-making process. So to flesh this all out, we can look to the one who practiced humility and fear of the Lord perfectly. Let's take a look at Philippians 2:5-7. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as He already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on the cross. For this reason, also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, for those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So just breaking this down a little bit, so this is how Jesus demonstrated humility and fear of God. First, in verse 6, it says that He did not consider equality with God. So this first thing is His mindset and His attitude. Even though Jesus is God and as He is fully entitled to consider Himself to be God, He did not consider Himself equal with God. In other words, He considered Himself less than God. Verses 7 to 8, then after adopting that mindset, He then emptied Himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, He didn't just take on a different mindset. He also adopted a lower status of a bondservant, when in actuality, He's supposed to be Lord of all. And then He physically changed His appearance to a man. So I presume that this is probably much less glorious than the previous form that He was in. And then verse 8, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on the cross. So He took it further, not just adopting a lesser mindset and appearance, but he humbled himself and acted in humility, which is obedient to the Father, to the point of dying on the cross. I'm reminded that Jesus choosing to be obedient was actually not easy for him, because in Matthew 26:39, he prayed this, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." So Jesus' death on the cross is the perfect illustration of humility and fear of the Lord. And in doing so, he definitely counted others more important than himself. And he didn't only look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. But I wonder, now, did he not look to his own interests at all? Well, we know from the verse that we just read in verses 9 to 11 that it says this, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So clearly, from his act of humility and fear of the Lord, he did receive the riches, honor, and life that was promised in Proverbs 22:4. Personally, I think that he was cognizant of the reward that he will receive, but I also believe that that was not his sole motivation for his humility and obedience. I think it was as simple as this, "Not as I will, but as you will." So now let's turn to the rewards, riches, honor, and life. So the cause and effect is this. If we have the fear of the Lord, we will gain divine wisdom, and in living life with God's wisdom, we will receive riches, honor, and life. Well, what are these things then? When are we going to get this? Well, these will certainly be given to us in our next life, as we will be heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with him. That's Romans 8:17. So certainly, God will reward us in the eternal life, but maybe in this life too. But I think that's entirely up to God. However, what the Bible says is that these riches and honor will come from that which come from wisdom are durable. As it says in Proverbs 8:18, "Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness." So this wealth is not fleeting, it's not perishable, and it's long-lasting. My personal belief is that these riches are not just the earthly perishable type like gold and silver, which Peter says is perishable in 1 Peter 1:18. "For the only perishable treasures are those that are stored in heaven and are not found here on earth," as we know from Matthew 6:19 to 21. I think that if God does reward us with the earthly treasures for our humility and fear of the Lord, it is meant to be used in a way such that imperishable treasures are stored in heaven, and as it says here, that righteousness will flow out of it. So I reflect on this, and so is it okay to rely on this promise of rewards to motivate ourselves to be humble and, you know, to have this attitude of fearing the Lord? I think it's okay, as long as we realize that these riches, honor, and life might not be the perishable type that we expect, but we can certainly expect that such rewards will come in some form and that has eternal value. So to summarize, humility is thinking of yourself less than others, but not thinking of yourself less. Fear of the Lord is an attitude which comes from a holy reverence of God, because we know we are mere creatures before the Creator. However, we also know our value in Him because He died for us on the cross. So it's not a cowering kind of fear, but a worshipful submission. And the Lord delights in humility and fear of the Lord, and He will reward those with riches, honor, and life, and these rewards will have eternal value. Just applying this to just to life overall, I think it can be complicated and chaotic at times. Perhaps, like me, you are wearing different hats and playing different roles at the same time. In this season, God has put on my plate to be a parent of three young children, to take care of a church ministry, but also to be in a workplace ministry, to be a daughter to elderly parents, and also a wife. Sometimes it can be quite overwhelming, and I need a lot of wisdom to juggle all of this whilst properly fulfilling my responsibilities in each of these roles. But reading Proverbs 22:4, it's somewhat comforting to me that to manage all of this, it actually simply boils down to fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Honestly, I don't think I'm particularly intellectual or quick in thinking, but I think in my lacking, I can ask the Holy Spirit to help me adopt this attitude, which is fear of the Lord, which is the first building block to gaining wisdom. And it also motivates me that we will be rewarded for being humble and fearful of the Lord. So as we go into a time of worship, maybe let's come before God and have a think about whether you might need some wisdom to discharge your various responsibilities that God has placed you in. Or perhaps you might be at a crossroad or about to make a very important decision in your life, or you're at a loss and you need some direction from Him. Whatever it is, let's ask the Holy Spirit today to give us the fear of the Lord and give us the heart of humility so that we can have wisdom from above.
Humble heart.
Jesus' example. Lord, I just really pray for the Holy Spirit to help us this morning to reflect on what this means and help us to have this humility and fear of the Lord that we all so very much need to really unlock the abundant life that is in Jesus. And so, Father God, yeah, I just pray for my church family this morning that, yeah, the Holy Spirit will speak to us and help us in this area, Lord. We just lay down our hearts before you and we submit ourselves to you, Lord. So Lord, please help us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Let's turn to our corporate prayer. Let's lift up those who are struggling with cancer and who really needs that word of healing for the Lord to sustain them through their treatment, to their radiation and chemotherapy treatment and surgeries as well. Lift up those who are suffering from illness but also need the word of salvation. May the Lord have mercy on them. May the Lord heal them from their from the illnesses and also pray that the Lord will send angels to minister to them. Those who are going through infirmities, let's pray for the Lord's healing to come upon them, for the Lord to sustain them during this time, and for them to feel close to God in the midst of this. To open doors. Let's pray for God. Let's pray that the Lord will give them favor and for the Lord to also help them use their time wisely in this time of waiting. Thank you. to our mission focus this morning, let's lift up PSAM Kim, who is leading SPSG in Singapore. Let's pray for P. Salamat, who's leading SPIN, which is our Indonesian ministry, and P. Ernie, who's leading SPIL, our Philippines ministry. Let's pray for Lisa, who is now taking care of SP Kids, Donald, who is looking after SP Youth, and P. Andrew, who's leading SPU. Let's pray for anointing over them, pray for strength, Lord, and pray for all those who are attending, these men who are being ministered to have open hearts and to encounter God in these ministries. Lift up our prayer and healing ministries. Lift up Matt, who is heading IP, Sarah, who's heading the well, and Rachel, who's heading the river. And let's pray for covering over each and every one of them. Pray that they will not grow weary in their serving, and they'll continue to have that joy and passion in their respective ministries. Evening outreaches are going out tonight, SP Lights and Homies Outreach. Let's pray for covering over the teams that will be going out. Let's pray for open hearts for those who will be ministered to, and that the seed of gospel will fall into their hearts and that it will fall on soft soil. Pregnant moms who are at church, let's pray for covering over every single one of them, for a healthy baby and healthy mom, smooth pregnancy, and the whole process will be smooth, and that the delivery of the baby will be smooth as well. Thank you. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting tonight, Cullinan West, East Bay, Olympic, and Robin Hood. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to be present in their fellowship, that they'll encounter God through being with one another, and yeah, they'll just have a blessed time together. Father God, Lord, I just want to thank you for this morning. I pray that the verse that's shared today, that the Holy Spirit remind us throughout the day that, being humble and fearing you, having this attitude of fearing the Lord is pleasing to you. And I pray that, before we make every decision today and this morning, that this verse will cross our minds and that we will make choices that are pleasing to you. And we also know that, that you will reward us for this. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Father God, and we just thank you for this morning and just pray for blessing that for all of us who will get on with their day. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thanks, everyone, and have a good time of prayer this morning.